Good evening. It's not very often that a speaker has the privilege of speaking to such a large audience on a Sunday evening in North America these days. It's great to see you all tonight. It's very seldom that we have as many, if not more, at the evening service as at the morning service. So it's wonderful to be here. It's a special privilege for me to be here when the choir is singing. Now that's not saying anything to detract from the choir that we have every Sunday, that is a congregational choir. But I'm sure we all enjoyed very specially that beautiful rendition of that lovely hymn. And I trust every one of you has pondered these questions that were asked. And I hope that each one of us can answer them in the affirmative, that we do know Jesus as our friend and Savior and Lord and guide. Let's turn, if you will, again, please, to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to continue our study in the first chapter. This morning we just covered about the first five verses of this chapter, so we've got the rest to do this evening. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nation, and over the kingdom, to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Then said the Lord unto me, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them, and all that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar and brazen wall, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. The Lord will ensure bless to us the reading of his holy word. Let's again bow for a moment and pray, please. O God our Father, we pray again that thou wilt speak to us through thy word. Make it very clear that this is directed to each one of us individually. It is not just a message to Jeremiah, but thou hast recorded it in the page of thy book that we may each learn important lessons from it, and that like Jeremiah we may give ourselves in obedience to thee, to thy claims and to thy commands. Grant us thy blessing as we wait together, for we ask in his precious name. Amen. I'd like you tonight to put yourself into Jeremiah's shoes. I'd like you to think of the command, of the instruction, the commission that God gave to him. We were thinking about this morning. God said to him, "Before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nation." And I want you to think of yourself as a young fellow, a young girl of 16 to 18 years of age. That probably is what Jeremiah was when he had this commission from the Lord, although we have no way of knowing at this point. What would you have thought? How would you have reacted? What would your response have been? Well, I know a good number of young people who would have answered differently from Jeremiah. They would have said, "Well, that's just for me. I'm suited for that, and I can do that." But I think most of us here probably would have responded in a similar way to Jeremiah, in a humble way, acknowledging our own weakness and insufficiency and inadequacy. Listen to what Jeremiah said. He said, "I cannot speak. I cannot speak." He recognized that the task was beyond him. And as a matter of fact, any task that God gives to us is beyond you and me individually. We need help from outside ourselves to carry out any service that the Lord entrusts to us. So Jeremiah was perfectly right in acknowledging his own insufficiency and his own weakness. He reminds us of Moses. I was reading the story of Moses in the early chapters of Exodus when God spoke to him to go to Pharaoh and to go to his own people in Egypt and proclaim the Lord God. Moses said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? When I come into the children of Israel, what shall I say unto them? I'm not eloquent. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." That's pretty well what Jeremiah said. And I'm sure many of us would feel in the same boat if we were presented with the same commission that Jeremiah was given. It's good to be humble. It's good to be dependent upon God. It's good to be reluctant in a way. But it's not good to be reluctant that we'll refuse to do what God commands us and refuse to be dependent upon Him to give us the ability to do that. In addition to that, Jeremiah said, "I'm a child." And probably he was pretty young at this time. It's difficult to say how old a child is because it's used of a baby. The word is used of a young child, a growing lad. It's used of a young man. And as I've indicated, probably Jeremiah was a teenager at this particular time. He said, "I am a child." I'm reminded of another great man of the Old Testament. Unfortunately, his greatness is sullied by the things that he did, but his name was Solomon. Do you remember Solomon? Solomon had a vision from the Lord and a request in a dream that he had. God said, "Ask of me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon thought for a little while. He said, "I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out or to come in. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people?" And Solomon was given that wisdom and that discernment that he asked. Now, so far as the work of the Lord is concerned, any service that we may render to the Lord that the Lord calls us to, you and I are utterly inadequate for it. And we should recognize our inadequacy. And certainly we should confess our inability. But we should be ready, when God calls, to accept His command. For His call brings with it His ability, and we should depend upon Him to guide us. And that's exactly what the Lord did when He gave Jeremiah the commission that we read in the next few verses. Let's look at these verses, and let's notice what they imply to us. First, 7, the Lord said to Solomon, as to Jeremiah, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." This is God's command. And God's command requires obedience. God's command requires obedience. You see, God gave command to Jeremiah as to what to do. He says, "Thou shalt go." And he tells Jeremiah where to go. He says, "You'll go where I send you." And he tells Jeremiah what to speak. He says, "Thou shalt speak whatsoever I command you." So God gives a command to everything that he commands us to do. He tells us what to do, where to go, and what to speak. And he always does that. And we should be prepared to do what he commands, to go where he sends, and to speak what he directs. That should be true about all of our lives and all of our service. That's what Jeremiah was commanded to do. So if in verse 7, we have God's command, in verse 8, we have God's presence. God's command requires obedience. God's presence dispels fear. Notice what God says. He says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Don't be afraid of their faces. Somebody has calculated, I have not done this, but somebody has calculated that if you look up the number of fear nots, or be not afraid, or be not dismayed in the Word of God, you'll find that there are 366. I've looked up the number of fear nots, and it's somewhere between 60 and 70, the ones that come from God. But somebody has calculated not only the fear nots, but these other statements are fairly similar, and they've calculated that there are 366 of them. Does that ring a bell with you? You see, 366 is not only the number of days in 1 year, but the number of days in a leap year. Even if it's a leap year and there's an extra day, there's still a fear not or a be not afraid for every day of the year. And you can take and these promises and these assurances from God himself. Be not afraid. And you'll notice as you look and examine some of these fear nots in the Bible, that many have their basis in the assurance of God's presence and God's power, just as this one has. The psalmist in Psalm 23 said these great words, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." How did he get to know that? Well, David had known it for a long time, because David got to know it as a young man. A young man. As a young man facing a lion and a bear, the Lord was with him. As a young man facing the giant Goliath, the Lord was with him. And he carried the memories of these experiences of the Lord's presence throughout his life. And he has inscribed them for us in that favorite psalm of many of us, Psalm 23. Have you any memories of God's presence with you at critical junctures in your life? I'm sure all of us can look back. So often we tend to forget when we're in a time of crisis and difficulty. But as we look back to our lives, we discover that the Lord has been with us in circumstances that were difficult and trying, and he brought us out of these circumstances and delivered us through them. The Lord's presence dispelled fear. Of course, David wasn't the only one who experienced that. Paul experienced that. As he takes up his pen to write what we believe is his last letter, certainly the last letter that we have from his pen, he wrote these words, "At my last answer, no man stood with me, but the Lord was with me," as he was in many of Paul's trials, in all of Paul's trials, and the Lord protected him and strengthened him. And the Lord, of course, promised that One of the last promises before he left his disciples was this: go ye into all the world. Lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always. And that's a promise that still stands. It's never been rescinded. It still stands. I'm sure you've all heard of David Livingstone, the missionary explorer of last century who went to Africa and laid down his life there. David Livingstone had the responsibility to address a great group of students at Glasgow University. And in the course of his address, he stood before these students, gaunt and haggard from many illnesses. His left arm lay limp, hung limp behind beside him. That was the arm that was injured by the lion that attacked him. But he said to that group of students, in all my travels, in all my experiences, amidst people who were often hostile to me, there were some words that stood with me and that supported and strengthened me. And they were these: Lo, I am with you always. That's a promise from the Savior. He never broke a promise. He never told a lie. And when he sends you on any service, you can lay hold upon that particular promise: I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So first of all, there's God's command that requires obedience. That's verse 7. And secondly, there's God's presence that dispels fear. That's verse 8. And then in verse 9, we have God's touch that gives assurance. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Jeremiah wondered what he was going to say. The Lord cleared up the difficulty completely. There was no problem. Jeremiah didn't have to think what to say. God said, I've put my words in thy mouth. God's hand gives assurance. You may say, well, how did Jeremiah experience God's touch? Well, he hasn't told us that. I don't know how he did, but I'm sure he was sure that God had touched him. And God's touch had brought that assurance to him. His touch is essential for service. His touch is essential for cleansing, as Isaiah discovered. You remember Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And there came to Isaiah a messenger who touched him with a piece of coal from off the altar. He said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. You can go now. It has cleansed you. And the cleansing that Isaiah experienced empowered him for service. And the power that Jeremiah experienced empowered him for service too. What a difference is made by the touch of the Master's hand. The touch of the Master's hand. The hymn writer has put it this way: shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. I trust that every one of us has experienced the touch of the Savior. When we have come to him for salvation, and when we trust him for service, and when we look to him for guidance, his touch gives assurance. There's one more thing that God said to Jeremiah. Verse 7, God's command requires obedience. Verse 8, God's presence dispels fear. God, verse 9, God's touch gives assurance. Verse 10, God's authority provides ability. Notice what God says in verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over. I have appointed thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That command that I mentioned a moment or two ago about the Lord, when he said, go ye therefore into all the world, or go ye therefore and teach all nations, was preceded by an assurance of his authority. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Here Jeremiah is reminded that all authority is in the hands of the Savior, the hands of his Lord. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. And because of that authority, Jeremiah was given special ability. Let's notice the words God uses. He takes words that are from the agricultural realm and words from the architectural realm, and he brings them together. You'll notice that there are six words he uses. The first four are all breaking down. Let's notice. To root out. To pull down. To destroy. To throw down. And the last two, also from the agricultural and architectural realm, are building up. To build and to plant. You know, that's a picture of Jeremiah's prophecy. A great deal of Jeremiah's prophecy was devoted to pointing out the seriousness of the sin of his people, to commanding them to repent, to reminding them of their departure from God, to pull down, to break down, to root out the sin and the evil and the iniquity of the people. But there was also that in Jeremiah's prophecy, to build up and to plant. This should be in our service for the Lord too. That which speaks about the things that have to be pulled out, and that which speaks about the building up. So much then for God's commission. Following this, Jeremiah was given two visions, two object lessons. During this week, from Tuesday to Friday, we're going to think of some of Jeremiah's visions, some of his object lessons, some of the audiovisuals he had. God gave them to him. And he begins at the very beginning of his ministry, his prophetic ministry, by giving him a couple of object lessons. He had a vision. And it's interesting to look at the visions that Jeremiah was given. Let's notice the first vision was of a rod or a branch of an almond tree. And God said, what do you see? And Jeremiah told him what he saw. And then the Lord said to him, thou hast well seen. That's exactly what's there, Jeremiah. For I will hasten my word to perform it. And at first sight, you may say, what's relevant about that? Why did the Lord say that? Showed him a branch of an almond tree. And then he said, I will hasten my word to perform it. Is there any connection with the vision and with the statement that the Lord gave about the vision? Well, there is a connection. You have to know the connection. First of all, I have to tell you that almond trees were grown in Anathoth. That was at Jeremiah's hometown. It was a particular center for growing almonds. The second thing, and more importantly, is this, that almonds were the first trees to bud. Way back in January, when other trees were still dormant, the almond trees were budding. And moreover, it was called the awake tree, because it awoke before the other trees. And moreover, the word almond is a word that is very closely related and similar to the word watch, watch. So we have in the King James Version, I will hasten my word to perform it. The almond tree was the first to awaken. God says, I'm going to hasten my word to perform it. God was going to commit his word and carry it out. And then secondly, the almond tree is like watching. And if you take some of the other translations for the NIV, it says, I am watching. The New English Bible calls it, I am on the watch and will carry out my purpose. The budding almond tree was a sign of coming almonds. And God is proclaiming to Jeremiah that what he says is going to come to pass. Of course, we know that's true. What God has said, he is going to come to, is going to come to pass. He is going to fulfill. God has said that his son is going to come again to this world. And the Lord Jesus has said he's going to come again to take us to be forever with himself. He's going to fulfill it. Other people may say, where is the promise of his coming? What's happened? Why is he delayed? But we know for sure that he is coming. We can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and our hearts are longing to be with him evermore. And we can be sure that he's coming. God is going to perform it. He's going to carry it out. And after his coming, to take us to be for himself, with himself, he's going to come with us, to bring us back to this earth, to reign over it in power and great majesty. Well, there was the first vision that Jeremiah had. Let's look at the second vision that he had. We see the second vision in verse 13. God again asked Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah answered aright. He said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Literally, that is tilting away from the north. Here it was a boiling cauldron, a seething pot, and its face was tilting away to the north so that the water or whatever was in it was boiling over towards the south. And what's the message of that? Well, God was telling Jeremiah exactly what was going to happen. And he tells the explanation of it in verse 14. Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. God was going to call the families of the kingdom of the north, and they were going to come. They were come to the cities of Judah and the gates of Jerusalem. And that means they were going to take authority over the land of Judah and over the cities of Jerusalem. In about 40 years, that exactly happened. Jeremiah had his call to service, to prophetic ministry, 40 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. In 40 years, the kings from the north, who were they? Well, the kings were mainly under the king of Babylon. And if you look at a map of the Bible land, Bible countries, you'll discover that Babylon is not really to the north of Israel. Babylon is to the far east of Israel. But between Israel and Babylon, there's a long desert. And so in order to come to Israel, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and all his forces had to come at Babylon from the north, around the north direction, and they came at Jerusalem from the north, and they came upon Jerusalem and Judah from the north. God's messengers, Babylon, even Babylon was God's messenger. That wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, was God's messenger to pour God's judgment upon his own people. Incidentally, we discover that it's from the north that judgment is going to come in a coming day. That God is going to bring his messengers from the north again. We read about that in the Bible. But we're not going to go into that because we nearly finished our time and we want to finish Jeremiah's chapter on his commission. They were going to come from the north. And they were going to take their places in the gates of the city of Jerusalem. That's exactly what they did. You see, God does fulfill his purposes and his promises. This was 40 years before it happened. All the false prophets in the interval were predicting that it would never happen against Jeremiah's prophecies that because of their wickedness and iniquity, God was going to bring it upon them. It shows that God will perform his purpose. If you've any doubt about the coming of the Lord, you can stop your doubts immediately. He will come. He will not tarry. He is sure to fulfill his purposes. Well, let's finally look at God's final charge to Jeremiah in the last three verses of this chapter. God's final charge. We're presenting this because it has a relevance to our lives and to our times. What was true of Jeremiah in his limited sphere where he lived is true of us today in our limited sphere. It has relevance to us. And we can learn important lessons. Notice, first of all, the command God gave to Jeremiah in verse 17. Actually, it's a series of commands. First of all, he says, gird up thy loins. I'm sure every one of us is acquainted with the fact that people in the Middle East at that time anyway wore long flowing robes. And if they were going to be ready for action and movement, they had to get a tie, a girdle, to fasten them together so that they wouldn't impede their journey. Gird up thy loins means to be ready, get prepared for it. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 1, said, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Well, it means be mentally ready. Be mentally prepared. Roll up the sleeves of your mind, if you like. That's what Jeremiah was called to do. And you and I should be doing that. Get ready to do God's will, whatever it is. And arise, says Jeremiah. Arise. Stand up. And speak all that I command you. That's God's command for us too. His commands are contained in His Word. And we have a responsibility to read the Word of God so that we learn His commands and know exactly what He wants us to say. If we want to know what to speak to men and women who are in need of eternal life and salvation, we can only find it in the pages of the Word of God. And we have a responsibility to seek for it, to speak what God commands us to do. Speak unto them all that I command thee. And then finally, he says, don't be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Now, it's interesting that the word dismayed and the word confound are the same verb in the Greek. We could translate it, don't be dismayed, lest I dismay you before them. The NIV puts it something like this, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. In other words, if you're afraid before them, I'll make you more afraid. So Jeremiah was to depend upon God. God was going to be his strength and his power and his presence. And we too are in the same situation. As we go to men and women to proclaim to them the message of God, to declare to them the truth of repentance, and we have to stand before them boldly, as God's messengers and God's servants. And then secondly, in verse 18, we have not only the command God gave to Jeremiah, verse 17, but the confidence God instilled in Jeremiah. Notice what God said, behold, I have made thee a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls, and the kings, and the princes, and the priests, and the people of the land. These were the people that Jeremiah confronted in the succeeding chapters it's revealed of his prophecy. These were the people that were against him. God said to him, I've made you a defense city. God is able to do that. Remember, Jeremiah is just a young lad at this time, maybe a boy of 18, when this happened to him. God says, I've made you, even a young fellow of 18, I've made you a defense city. And God is able to do that with every one of us. He said to his disciples, follow me, said the Lord, and I will make you fishers of men. And as we follow him, he's able to make us able to do his will and to do his service. He is able to make us. Someone has said a poet can take a piece of paper and write a few lines upon it and make it worth thousands of dollars. A philanthropist can take another piece of paper and he can sign his name to it and write a few figures on it and make it worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. An artist can take a piece of paper or a canvas and draw a picture on it and make it worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the Lord can take our lives and write His will upon our lives and give us His power in our lives and make us effective in His service for eternity. I will make you a defense city. I will make you fishers of men. And finally, as we come to the close in verse 19, Jeremiah isn't promised an easy time. God never promises us an easy time, but he does promise us security, protection, guidance, support in every time. God said, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now that was a promise to Jeremiah. But I'm going to suggest to you that many, like many other promises in the Bible, it's one that any one of us can apply to our own lives. Why do I say that? Because we find many promises like that are directed to us in the Bible, and we can relate to this promise because it reminds us of other promises in the New Testament that are relevant to us. If we put our trust in the Lord, we know that He'll never forsake us. He'll never let us down. His power and His presence will always avail for us. Well, this was Jeremiah's call. And this was Jeremiah's God. Jeremiah's God is still the same today. Jeremiah's God is the one who calls us into His service. And He who was able to defend and protect and to strengthen Jeremiah in the difficult days that he had to face is able to do that for each one of us. We have to put our hand into His hand. We have to put our trust in Himself. We have to put our lives in obedience with His word. And we'll discover that as we serve Him in our time, He will fulfill His promises that were given to Jeremiah. He'll fulfill them to us. Lo, He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. May the Lord help us to take His promises and to apply them to our lives, to take His commands and do them with all our heart and strength. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for the lessons that we can learn from Thy servants of old. We thank Thee for Jeremiah. We pray that Thou wilt help us as we meditate upon this great man of God, this man who served Thee so faithfully. Help us, we pray Thee, by the grace and power of Thy Holy Spirit, to be as Jeremiah was in his day, to be a wall that would be defended against the attacks of the enemy. Grant that we may trust Thee implicitly and serve Thee faithfully. Thou knowest all about every one of us. We have come to a new week today. We pray that Thou wilt help us to use the hours and days of this week to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us into Thy hand, if there is one in the audience this evening who as yet have not come to know the Savior. We pray that in the quietness of these moments they may yield to the claims of the Lord Jesus and come to know His power and presence and pardon in their lives. We commit ourselves to Thee as we separate, asking Thy guidance and blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus.